Morning. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. Again, that's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. The Bible reads, "Is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein there is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For man, no man of his seed shall prosper, stand upon the throne of David, and ruling any more in Judah."
Church, say amen. Good morning to you. It's good to be back. Thank you for your wonderful prayers. It's always good to return safely. And I tell people when they're traveling, just come back the same way you left. If we can do that, we feel pretty good about it. So I'm thankful to be back, and it's good to see all of you. It's good to see those who are visiting with us. We're thankful for your presence. Some of you I've not seen, so welcome, and we hope that something can be said that will help you. We hope that you are in search of something, and that something is the God of heaven, that you are in search of being right with him, that you want your life aligned with his will, and if you want that, then you've come to the right place. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we are especially glad to have you, because we want you to understand that God has his church, and he wants all the saved in it. And he's only going to save based on his conditions and his requirements. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we'd like for you to investigate us and make sure that what we are doing is strictly from the Word of God. And so we offer to you that if you have any questions regarding anything that I say from the pulpit, you have every right to question it. And we hope that you will. We are not of those who believe that you offend us when you question us. We believe, since it is your soul that hangs in the balance, that you ought to question things pertaining to your soul, especially in light of the fact that there is a God of heaven that's going to judge all men everywhere at the end of this life, the end of time, and then we are going to live or one place or another throughout all eternity. And based on that, my friends, you can't be worried about whether someone's going to get offended about you questioning regarding your soul. So if you have any questions regarding anything you hear, please write those questions down. We will take all the time necessary with you to study with you and to give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. You've heard your scripture reading, Jeremiah chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles, be turning over there with me. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah is, as a whole, is a book that warns. Jeremiah is doing quite a bit of warning in his book. And, you know, Jeremiah's not here today, but we still need to make sure that we are warning men regarding what's written in the Word of God. He is warning Judah because Judah is following in the same footsteps of her sister. She has seen that the northern kingdom has fallen to the Assyrians, and now Judah is also about to be destroyed. It appears that she has not learned any lessons from what has happened to Israel. But God gives the nation a choice. They can either surrender to Babylon, receive their God-appointed captivity, or they could be slaughtered and destroyed. Now, to me, it would be an easy choice. If God was telling me to surrender and to submit, yes, it's captivity. Yes, I certainly don't want to be in captivity, but if God was saying you surrender and submit because this is according to my will, or you be slaughtered and destroyed, it would appear to me that the choice would be easy. But not Judah. Jeremiah tells them, you're going to submit or you're going to be destroyed. But Jeremiah also gives them some hope. Judah will be built again. And every nation that took advantage of Judah, when they fail, God is going to judge, even Babylon.
the one that God is sending to destroy Judah. The prophet indeed has a mission that is sad. Jeremiah has to go and preach the word of God, and he has to go and he has to witness against the children of Judah. He has to tell them about the impending doom, and he has to look at the deplorable condition of the land that he loves so much. He has to renounce their kings. It is not a wonderful thing for Jeremiah, but Jeremiah has to do it because the word of God is kind of locked up in his bones, burning like a fire, and it has to get out. And when you consider that he has such a sad mission, yet Jeremiah faces that mission. And if we consider our text, we'll see some of the things that Jeremiah is mentioning here in Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 29. Before we get there, if you would notice chapter 21 through 23, he then takes the kings and the false prophets and he denounces them. In chapter 21, verses 10 or 1 through 20, Zedekiah asked Jeremiah regarding the war that Babylon is making toward him. So he's wondering, why is this king of Babylon coming in against us? And he asked Jeremiah to inquire of the Lord regarding this situation. Well, in 21, 11 through 12, Jeremiah began speaking on the duties of the kings of Judah. And he follows it up with a warning against Jerusalem. So just when they want to know, why is the king of Babylon coming in against us, Jeremiah turns around and says, you are responsible. And then he not only gives warnings to those kings, but he also says that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Well, as he moves into chapter 22, he takes up the discussion again regarding the duties and the responsibilities of those kings. He pronounces warnings against all of the evil kings of Judah. Jehoahaz in chapter 22, 10 through 12. Jehoiakim in chapter 22, 13 through 19, who also is known as Eliakim. And then Jerusalem doomed in chapter 22, verses 20 through 23. And then Jehoiakim, who is also known as Coniah or Jeconiah, in verses 24 through 30. And it's right there where we want to settle in this morning and look for a topic: earth, earth, earth. Jeremiah cries out in chapter 22 and verse number 29. He says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah actually cries out to inanimate creation because man refuses to hear. So Jeremiah cries out as if, is there anyone in the entire earth who understands the significance of the word of the Lord? And so he says that the earth needs to hear the word of the Lord. My friends, I believe if Jeremiah was here today, he'd still be saying the same thing. He'd be saying, oh, earth, earth, earth. Why? Because there seems to be no one that hears and recognizes the significance and the importance of the word of God. And so the message that Jeremiah gives in Judah is one that's still needed today. It needs to be heard and obeyed by all. And so we would say, just like Jeremiah today, the earth needs to know and hear and understand the significance of the word of God. You know, Moses spoke kind of in the same manner to Israel long ago. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 26, he called heaven and earth to witness against Israel if they fail to keep the covenant of the Lord. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon perish from off the land whereunto he gave you to go over this Jordan to possess it. And so he says, you know what? I'm calling heaven and earth to witness against you this day. You see why? Because I need to make sure that you understand that this is going to be recorded. You see, man doesn't have the right to just absolutely disobey God and disrespect God. And he certainly ought not to believe within himself that he's going to get away with it. You see, sometimes folk think that this is something you can just choose. You feel like, you know what, I don't have to really do this, or I don't really have to do that. You know, that's good for you, but it's not necessarily good for me. There's a whole lot of folks that talk like that when it comes to the word of the Lord. But you know what? There is a witness against you. And see, even Jeremiah is calling against Israel, against Judah. He's calling the earth to witness against this people who will not hear the word of the Lord. They are actually in the position that they are in because they refuse to hear the word of the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Again, Moses called heaven and earth to witness against the children of Israel if they fail to keep the commandments and statutes and judgments of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Begin, Brother Craig, at verse number 15, if you will. He set before them this day life and good. Now, every man wants good, doesn't he? Any reasonable individual would desire to have that which is good. So we would desire life and good. He says, I've set before you life and good and what?
Death and evil.
And death and evil. Now, I'll tell you right now, I'd much rather have life and good than death and misery and evil and corruption and all those kind of things. Wouldn't you? You would think that that's what you would desire. But why did they choose death and evil? They chose it for the same reason people choose it today. They chose it because in order to have life and good, you have to have it in accordance with the will of God. You have to have it because you keep the Lord's commandments. You keep his statutes. Your life and good is tied to your covenant with the Lord. And see, that's why folk would rather choose death and misery, because they reject the commandments of the Lord. See if that's not what he's saying. Keep reading, if you will.
In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God.
To love the Lord thy God.
To walk in his ways.
And to keep his commandment. That's how you get it, my friends. That's life. That's good. Ultimately, what this means is this is happiness. You want happiness? Some folks say, I want to be happy. Do you really want to be happy? There's a whole lot of folks that say, I want to be happy. If you want to be happy, it's tied to your relationship with the Father. It's tied to your relationship with God. It is tied to your ability to be able to do what he asked you to do, to be able to serve him, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy might, to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways, to deny everything else and accept God as your leader, to enthrone Jesus upon the lordship of your heart. My friends, when you do that, my friends, that's where your happiness comes in. And you know, that's why I deny folks when they say, well, I know God don't want me unhappy. When you find yourself in an unwanted situation, albeit a bad marriage or whatever, you find folk, I've talked to women, and they'll be telling me, well, Brother Disney, he's not treating me right. He don't do this. He doesn't do this. And I just want out, you know, and I know that the Lord don't want me unhappy. And I always ask, who told you that? Who told you that? Well, I know the Lord don't want me unhappy. Wait a minute. First of all, you've got to come to understand your definition of happiness. You see, your definition of happiness always has to deal with the fact that you do what you want to do and get your way. And if that's your definition of happiness, then the Lord wants you plenty unhappy. You see, because if you're going to decide that your happiness, God wants me happy, and then when God is based on the fact that God wants me happy, then I go against his will. God ain't never wanted a man so happy. He never wanted a man that happy. He's never wanted a woman, boy, girl, or man that happy to where you have to deny his will. You see, he says, I'm setting before you life and death and good and all these things. These things will obtain happiness for you. In John 13, 17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. My friends, it's always a tie to obeying God's will. When you don't want to be happy, or when you think you're going to be happy and God wants you happy, it's only because you do what he says. They are going into captivity because they got away from what he said. And Moses is actually pronouncing it right now. Here's what I'm doing. You know what? The land will rest. The land will be good. The land will be good to you. You will stay here. God will be your God. You will serve him. He'll bless you. Here's life. Here's good. But what? If you continue in his will, if you love the Lord your God, if you serve and obey him, if you walk in his way, but if you don't, read, Brother Craig.
And to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it.
That's it. Read.
But
if you turn away, come on.
So that thou wilt not hear, thou shalt be drawn away. Worship other gods.
Why do you think folk come back to the Lord when everything is broke down? Why do you think folk come crawling back? They usually come crawling back when everything is messed up in their lives. Why? Because they tried it their way. They stopped obeying God. They stopped loving the Lord thy God with all their heart. They stopped walking in his ways. And then when everything went bad, then they try to make it back. You see, this is not new. Keep reading.
I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish.
You shall surely perish.
And that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land.
Okay, wait a minute. Now we in Jeremiah. Now he's reading out of Deuteronomy. Obviously that came before Jeremiah, right? So what he's pronouncing there, now we're seeing it in Jeremiah. This was the pronouncement given to them by Moses. What you're reading now in Jeremiah is now come to pass because they did all those things, walked away. They walked away and did things their own way. Turned themselves to other gods. Because they would not listen to the Lord, see if Moses does not call heaven and earth to witness against them. Verse number 19.
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you.
Uh-huh.
That I have set before you life.
Uh-huh.
And death,
yes, sir.
Blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou
and thy seed may live. My friends, listen. When man has to cry out to inanimate objects, to inanimate creation, that ought to say something to man who has the ability to reason. It ought to shame them. When Jesus was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Luke chapter 19, Jesus is coming down off the mount, and he's coming down, he's on that coat, and they are spreading their garments out before him, and they are spreading the olive branches and all of these things out before him, and Jesus is making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He is now about to be announced as the Messiah. And they are singing and they are praising him and Hosanna to the Lord in the highest. He that is coming in the name of the Lord. He is the King. And then the Jews, those Pharisees, look to Jesus and say, do you not hear what these are saying? Rebuke your disciples. Tell them to hold their peace. But you know how Jesus responds to that? Jesus says, if these hold their peace, then the stones will cry out. If man doesn't praise Jesus at this moment in history, where everything has come together for this moment, for Jesus to finally now be announced as the Messiah, making his entry into Jerusalem, in just a little while he'll be crucified and gain redemption for all the whole entire world, every man, woman, boy, girl that has ever lived. Even to the point where every man, woman, boy, girl that shall ever live will have an opportunity down for salvation. And here we are in that moment. And Jesus says, if I tell these to hold their peace, he didn't say the rocks would simply cry out. He said they would immediately cry out. You see, it's not a matter of whether or not Jesus should be praised. It is a matter that he must be praised. Even to the point if man does not open up his lips and give him the praise that he deserves, then Jesus says inanimate creation will cry out. Amen. Praising Jesus for what is about to take place. Man had no idea. Why is it that man will not hear the word of the Lord? No wonder Jeremiah is saying, oh earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Is there anyone in the inhabitants of this earth that will hear the word of the Lord and know the significance of what's going on? Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 2, Isaiah says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Why does he call the heavens? Because the light of heaven should shine and show forth and should make sure that we understand that the darkness of men, we ought to be ashamed for it. So let the light of heaven shame man for his darkness. Let the fruitfulness of the earth shame man for his barrenness. Because something is amiss. Something is wrong. Something doesn't make any sense here. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. What doesn't make sense? What God says next. I have what? I have brought, nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. It doesn't make any sense, because the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Something is terribly wrong when something like an ox or a donkey, the dumbest of all domesticated animals, can understand and know their master. And yet here we are with the ability to reason, and we can't serve God? And we can't acknowledge God?
No wonder Jeremiah says, "Oh earth, earth, earth."
I tell you what we ought to be saying, "Oh earth, earth, earth. Will you not hear the word of the Lord?" Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah calls heaven to witness again of something that is absolutely astonishing. Jeremiah chapter 2, go to verse number 9. Come on, read, Craig. You know, God always pleads with us before he does something. You see, before judgment comes, God always gives man a chance. Amen. Just plead with man. Plead with man. He just begs man, implores man. You know what? Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. What have I done to you? Witness against me, and you will not hear. I've nursed you up like children, and you still reject me. The Lord is constantly making his plea to man before he destroys him. Man has opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to hear the word of the Lord, but he will not hear. What's wrong with man? Somebody tell me what's wrong with man. Jeremiah is asking again, making his plea. God is making his plea to his people, and something astonishing is happening. Read and see what's happening.
"Well, pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing."
Watch this. Read.
"Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? For my people have changed their glory."
Wait, listen.
"Which does not profit."
Listen. He says, go to the nations around you and look and see and tell me if you can even imagine such a thing. Are there any nations that have changed their gods? What kind of gods? The gods that cannot see? The gods that's made of wood and stubble? Stone? Listen. Even the gods that they make of stone and wood, those folks are more faithful to those little non-thinking, no power having gods than Israel is to the God of heaven. And he says, these folks will not even change their gods for gods of gold and silver, let alone the God of heaven. He said, be astonished at this. If you've ever seen it, how is it that they're more faithful to their gods, and then Israel has the true living God, and they will not change their gods, but Israel is changing their gods. The one nation that has no business changing their gods is the one that's changing. And that's Israel. He calls heaven to witness against this. Read.
"Be astonished, O ye heavens."
Read.
"At this, and be horribly afraid.
Uh-huh.
What was their problem?
Ingratitude and folly. Here, man thinking he has the ability to reason, and yet it's absurd when you think about he does and acts in contrary to his duty. He acts contrary to his own best interest. He says, be astonished, O heavens. Cause heavens to witness against this situation. Jeremiah the prophet is making a passionate plea to the earth as if to attest to the fact of the momentous and importance of the word of God. He calls to the earth as if the earth should be trusted to hear, because man will not. Everything in God's creation obeys him but man. Genesis chapter 7 through 9, we find that every animal, animals of every kind, went into the ark. But only 8 people had sense enough to go in there and save themselves. Do you think that Noah went out and had to go and prod and pull and do all this to get all those animals in the ark? No, they came to him because God told them to. Animals had sense enough to follow God, but man didn't. So only 8 people out of the entire world. Amen. No wonder Jeremiah is crying out, "Oh, earth, earth, earth." Inanimate creation obeys. The sun, moon, and stars have been doing what they've been doing for a long time, and they're still doing it. God said, recorded by Solomon, Proverbs 8:29, he gave his decree to the sea that the waters should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Aren't you glad for that? Because you and I are right next to an ocean. But God has set the bounds on the water that they do not go past his commandments. And they have been doing it for a very long time. But one time God allowed them to overcome land, and the one time he decided to destroy the land, they obeyed. So the great fountains of the deep were broken up, and the water gushed up, and the waters from heaven, the heavens were open, and water came down, ultimately filling the world with water. But God has decreed that the waters stay in their place and don't go beyond certain bounds, and that's why, my friends, we are not flooded. That's why we don't have to worry about that ocean. And that's why we don't have to ever worry about a flood anymore, because God has gave his decree. Everything obeys God the man. Jeremiah says, "Oh, earth, 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 hear and know the significance of the word of God." And then Jeremiah says, "Hear and know the surety of the word of the Lord." You see, what he sees is he sees the sight of the calamities that are swiftly coming upon his beloved land. And Jeremiah takes seriously the warnings that have been given to him by God. Impending doom upon Judah. And they are not hearing and understanding the surety of God's word. God's word is sure, my friend. The land is overrun by the cruel enemy, the armies of the Babylonians. The holy city is burnt with fire. The temple desecrated and destroyed. Kings one after another ending in shame and misery. Josiah was the best of the kings that found the word of the Lord, and yet he died in battle. Shalom, his son, is exiled in Egypt and is dying there, never to return to his homeland again. Jehoiakim is carried away by Nebuchadnezzar at a very early age and is said to have died in some miserable fashion, because it was prophesied he would die with the burial of an ass or a donkey. Look at Jeremiah chapter 22 and notice verse number 19 when you get there.
He shall be buried.
Now this is Jehoiakim. He shall be buried with what?
Burial of an ass.
Uh-huh.
And drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem.
Now Josephus writes about this situation and says that Nebuchadnezzar slew him and left his body exposed at a great distance from the gates of Jerusalem. And so the Bible says he will die with the burial of an ass. So therefore he wasn't even going to get a burial. And it is said that no one was to weep for him, and no one, absolutely no one, shed one tear for him. They used to be able to hire mourners to come and to cry for you at a funeral. But this man would die in such shame and misery that he was said to have the burial of a donkey. And so therefore he sent out from the east of the gate of Jerusalem, and he just lays out there a king, and this is the way he dies, without a burial. And no one sheds a tear. Last time you died because you found out a donkey died. Last time you cried, rather, when you found out a donkey died. Wow. This is what Jeremiah has seen. And then Jehoiakim, also known as Coniah or Jeconiah, with his mother, was seized by Nebuchadnezzar, taken to Babylon when he was 18 years old. Only ruled 3 months But it did not take long for him to show his inclination to do evil. And so king of Babylon, sent on in there and fetched him, took his mother and his seed, and took him to Babylon. After just 3 months of rule. And now when you get to our text, a curse is pronounced upon him and his seed forever. Look at verse 29 and 30 again.
Oh, earth.
Listen, I said you need to hear and know the surety of God's word. People need to respect that when God says something, it's coming to pass. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, here they now are suffering exactly what Moses said. Whenever God says something, my friends, it's coming to pass. And now he says something about Coniah. He says, Oh, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Do what? Thus saith the Lord,
write ye this man childless.
Let's read.
But no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judea.
Now go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 12, because this curse upon Coniah will have far-reaching ramifications, even down to the Messiah that is to come. Matthew reveals in chapter 1 and verse number 12 that Jesus was in this man's seed line. And now a pronouncement by God himself that no man shall prosper sitting on the throne of David, ruling anymore in Judah. Now that curse then even came down to the Christ who was in his seed line. Read Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 12.
And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel what begat Zerubbabel.
Jeconias is Coniah. That is the one that this curse is pronounced upon. And the Bible reveals to us that no one shall sit on the throne of David from his seed and would prosper. Which means, my friends, that not even Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself, could sit on the throne in Judah and rule. He would not prosper because he's of that man's seed line. Now, when you think about that, you see then why Jeremiah is crying out, Oh, earth, hear the word of the Lord. But I'm thankful that Jesus does not have to sit on the throne in Judah, because he's ruling in heaven. Look at Psalm 89, if you will. Psalm 89 and verse number 35. You see, that's what's wrong with the premillennial doctrine. They have a problem when they try to say that Jesus is going to come back to the earth and rule 1,000 years in Judah. Can't happen. Not possible. He can't set foot on the earth and prosper. Why? Because he's of the seed line of Coniah. And so therefore he could never come here and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, ruling physically or literally in Judah. Couldn't do it. Not possible. Thankfully, he's not going to have to, because the New Jerusalem, Galatians chapter 4, is in heaven. And he's ruling from heaven. Psalm 89, if you will, began reading verse number 35.
Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David.
Yes, sir.
His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me.
Yes, sir.
It shall be established forever as the moon, and as the faithful witness in heaven.
In where? In where?
In heaven.
In heaven. That's where it's going to be set up. So when God pronounces curse on Coniah, he says no man of his seed is going to prosper in Judah, sitting on the throne of David anymore, ruling. Can't do it. But Jesus, who's of his seed line, did not come to rule in Judah. He came to rule in heaven. And he's ruling right now. Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14. The Bible says, I saw in the night vision, and one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given on him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all people, nation, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, that which shall never be destroyed, his kingdom, that which shall not pass away. Jesus is ruling right now in heaven and has been for quite some time. In fact, go over to Acts chapter 2. And notice that that's not exactly what Peter was trying to make, that point what Peter was trying to make when he talked about David being in the grave, if you will. Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry. Disregard that 20 up there. It should be 2. Acts 2. And look at verse number 36. 30 rather. Down through verse number 36.
Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
Uh-huh.
He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption.
Now you notice he said he's going to raise up Christ to sit on his throne. But what did Jeremiah say? No man will rule anymore on the throne of David in Judah. He says he's going to raise up Christ to sit on David's throne. Read.
This Jesus that God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God.
Being where?
By the right hand of God.
What is he doing there?
Exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear.
You see what Jesus is? He's in heaven. What is he doing there? He's ruling. He's exalted. He's glorified. And he's ruling in heaven. That's what Daniel was saying. That he was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. All people, nation, languages should serve him. His dominion everlasting, his kingdom, that which shall never pass away. It will never be destroyed. He's ruling now. And that's what he said in Acts chapter 2. David is in the grave. Can't be talking about him. But Jesus is on David's throne. But it's in heaven, my friends. But he cannot come back to the earth and rule, because he could not prosper ruling in Judah. My friends, when Jeremiah saw all of these calamities happening, he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. My friends, listen. We no longer have the prophets today. But we have the completed revelation of God's word. Amen. And God's plea has not changed. We can learn from what the prophets wrote. Paul in Romans 15:4 said, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It does not appear that man has changed very much. It appears that inanimate creation is still obeying God while man is rejecting his counsel. Nations are still warring one against another. Kings and rulers, and we have presidents, are still rising and falling. Many in shame and in disgrace, because like Jehoiakim, they have built their houses on unrighteousness. We are still taking advantage of people. We are still doing all those things that they were doing as God charged Jehoiakim with. You built your house and you built it in unrighteousness. You took advantage of the little man and you did not pay him for his wages. And now you're going to sit here in the comforts and confines of all of your wonderful things that you have, and you know you built your house in unrighteousness. It appears that man is still doing that today. People are still pushing for change that takes us further and further away from God. Sin is still being renamed and repackaged for social acceptance. We are renaming sin so that it can sound a little bit more acceptable, so we can take away the sting of sin. We are dawning a new era as we embark on what is being called the New America. What is the New America? A term that scares me to death. That's what it is. And I don't care who said it. He can be white, blue, black, polka dot. It doesn't matter. When you start talking this foolishness about a New America, we got a problem. What do you mean a New America? I don't want to get into politics, but I know this, that the Republicans better get on board with the New America, because things are changing if they want to compete. Because now with the New America, anything goes. A whole lot of stuff goes. Folk can start doing some things that the God of heaven will not allow them to do. You can now have a man for a man, and y'all can get married in the New America. Women can be with women in the New America. You don't have to submit anymore to husbands in the New America. You can live and let live in the New America. Men don't have to love and treat their wives right in the New America. You can do what you want to do. What you do and what someone else is do, it's all right. Just as long as you don't bother nobody, you can do whatever it is you want to do. Man is getting to the point where he cannot blush. He takes no responsibility for what he's done. He takes no responsibility for his actions. Things that used to be private are no longer private, but through social media are now put out with no shame for everyone to see. I remember when some things were private. Some things were kept private. Now people put all their business out on the internet, and through social media, now we just throw everything out there, and some of those things ought to be kept private. And we ought to be ashamed for the stuff that we put out there for everybody to see, and then sit back and say, we have no shame. You're absolutely right. You cannot blush anymore. Man is getting to the point where it's going to be hard to pull him back. It appears that God is not welcome anywhere. He's not welcome among our leaders in our nation. He's not welcome among our children in our schools. He's not welcome among our labor force. If you go on the job talking too much God, you could lose your job. You could get fired. And it appears that the only place God is accepted in society is in religion or in man-made churches, where he is misused, misquoted, and misrepresented all of the time. If Jeremiah was here, he'd be saying, oh, earth, 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 will you hear the word of the Lord? If Isaiah was here, he'd be saying, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. But who's going to hear him? If Elijah was here, he'd be saying, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. But if Baal be served, then serve him. If you want money and you want to serve all these things, then make your choice today. And if Elijah was here, he'd be giving us the same choice that he gave him then. If Solomon was here, he'd be asking the question, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will give my words unto you, for I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hands and no man regarded. If he was here, he would be asking, how long are you going to be simple? How long are you going to be gullible? How long will you reject the word of the Lord? How long, how long, how long? If Stephen was here, he'd be saying, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. We are simply doing this year after year after year, generation after generation after generation. But when will we hear the word of the Lord? When will we attest to the fact that God's word is sure, that God's word is important? So how long? Well, God has to keep crying out to shame man by crying out to inanimate creation. My friends, when we hear the word of God, the Bible says it'll work in us. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13. It'll effectively work in all of us that believe. It will teach us and will complete us if we will hear the word of the Lord. All scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. My friends, the word of God will teach us and complete us if we will hear. Here comes with the idea of obeying. If we will hear the word of the Lord, it will cleanse us. Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto to the word of God. It will give us joy. Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me as a joy and rejoicing of mine heart. My friends, when you eat the word of God and it tastes bitter, something wrong with you. It's not the word of God. Jeremiah simply obeyed God. He enjoyed the word of God. We talked about happiness. Some folk want to be happy, but they want to be happy based on their own words, but not the word of the Lord. My friends, it'll build us up if we would just simply hear the word of God. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And it'll give us direction. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you desire, my friends, for your toes to be pointed in the right direction, then it starts, or it begins and ends, with the word of God. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Are we still crying that today? And if we're not crying that today, you tell me, with all the things that's going on among us and around us today, why aren't we crying it? I'll tell you what's happening. There's too many tickle your ears type preaching and preachers in the world today. We need some more Jeremiahs. We need some more Isaiahs. When God was looking for someone to go, Jeremiah said, here am I, send me. I go into gospel meetings, and I got a few more to go, so don't y'all start complaining. We got to help people. A few more to go this year, then we're going to settle down. So pray for me on next week. When it comes to the word of God, we go into these places, we preach, and people come up and they say, Brother Dismuke, I haven't heard that kind of preaching in a mighty, mighty long time. I didn't even know people were still preaching like that. I don't even know what that stuff means. I simply ask, then what kind of preaching are you hearing? If the preaching of the word of the Lord does not demand anything of us, if the preaching of the word of the Lord does not prick us when we know we're going astray, if the preaching of the word of the Lord does not light a fire. See, when you hear the word of the Lord preached and you recognize what it is, that distinctive sound that makes you want to do something better than you're doing when you walked in here, then that's preaching the word of God. But if that word of God tells you I'm all right and he all right and she all right, we all right, well, we know we're not all right. Too many people have turned religion into something you come in, have a good little time, and then go home. I was messed up when I came in here. I'm going to be messed up when I leave here, and I'm going to stay messed up, but at least entertain me for an hour. Well, that's not preaching, my friends. So we don't come here to entertain you. We try to find the word of God as it is, and we try to preach it and teach it in a way that will help you to appreciate what God is trying to get across to you. And there's a whole lot of things going on in the world that's affecting us now. And we need to take a stand against those things, and we need to preach against those things, and we need to preach against it, because if it's out there, it's coming in here. So we might as well deal with it. And we need to call men and women back to God. And we try to call you back this morning. Jeremiah was crying, oh earth, 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 we crying it today. Who will hear the word of the Lord? If you're here this morning, it could be that you're not in a proper condition with God this morning. It could be that you're not a saved individual because you've not obeyed the gospel. We're not talking about that stuff that the denominational folks offer to you by coming to mourners' benches and all that kind of stuff and just accepting Jesus in your heart. We're not talking about that. We're talking about hearing the word of God that produces faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, you have the intentions of obeying the word of God. And so when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, you repent of your sins. You change your mind about the life and the condition of your soul and your situation, and you turn, change in your mind, and you want to do something different. You want to walk with the Lord. So with that change in mind, you come and you recognize before this audience that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. You be willing to confess him, because that's the sweetest name, my friends, and the sweetest confession you can make is that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. And if you ever want to be in heaven with him one day, you better make that confession. Matthew 10:32-33, because he said, if you don't confess me, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven, because you were too ashamed to confess me before men. And when you make that confession, my friends, you've got to get into the water. Baptism for the remission of your sins. you still in your sins until you complete that act of baptism. If you're willing to do that, my friends, God will add you to the church. He'll add you. We won't vote on you. He'll add you to his church. Then you be faithful. You do the best you can. You do the best you can to do what's right. And when you do that, keeping his commandments, obeying his will, as Moses said, loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, walking in his ways. When you do that, my friends, he's going to bless your life. Not with the material blessings of the world stuff, not predicated upon all of that. But he's going to bless you with all those wonderful spiritual blessings. And certainly, you have a brothers and sisters in Christ. We can help you physically and financially and all those things as we work together. But the true blessings, my friends, is that you're connected with him and you'll be able, through the word of God, to make better decisions, receiving the blessings of life that comes from his son and through his son. Now, my friends, that's what we offer you today. So I say like Jeremiah, O earth, 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 who of you will hear the word of the Lord and come while we stand and sing the invitation song?